The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Good day, Trinidad and Tobago. Welcome to Agribusiness Innovation, of course, on Freedom 106.5 FM. Agribusiness Innovation is the leading program covering agriculture, the business behind it, and of course, innovation, not just in Trinidad and Tobago and the region, but around the world, as you've been accustomed to seeing our guests that come from pretty much all corners of the globe. Today, we have a very special guest, Mr. Dexter Ragunanan, and he has something quite interesting that I've heard about, but I've never personally used. So, Dexter, thank you for joining us.
Sure, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Dexter, what is the name or the brand name that you trade under?
Bossier Greens Earthworm Farm.
Bossier Greens.
Bossier Greens Earthworm Farm. And on our package would be Bossier Greens Earthworm Castings.
Now we're jumping into this now. What are earthworm castings and how does it relate or be beneficial for agriculture?
Cool. So earthworm castings basically is poop, earthworm poop. Just like how you have cow manure, cow dung, rabbit manure, the poop of the earthworm, that's what it is that we package and sell. Now, really, this is a nutrient-rich waste that the earthworms produce after they digest organic matter. It's a natural organic fertilizer loaded with beneficial microbes, essential nutrients like nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, trace minerals, etc.
I have seen some demonstrations being done using this on different plants. So they would have had one of those that they add nothing to, right?
Right.
Like a base. Then they had some that they added synthetic fertilizers to and some that they added earthworm castings to. And I think the ones with the earthworms performed so much better than all the others.
Definitely.
So why is it works so much better as a natural solution?
Well, as I said, it's more microbial based, you see? So it is microbes at work bringing the soil to life. And once the soil has life in it, then it makes it easier for the plants to absorb nutrients. It makes a stronger plant. With a stronger plant, you're definitely going to get better produce.
Dexter, how did you get into this line of business?
Well, I am really a landscaper and I've always been into plants. And plenty years ago, I wanted to get good quality topsoil because when you're doing your landscaping, you do up a garden bed, you want to put good topsoil. And I would be buying soil, but it wasn't working well at all for me, boy. So I decided, let me see if I could put together my own blend, my own mix. So I started to do some research. And this word keep coming up, worm castings, earthworm castings. So I found that interesting, and every mix had that. So I decided to research it, and I saw that it was prominent in India, Cuba, United States, England, all over the world. But I never heard about this. So with all the research I did, I realized this has to be an excellent product. So I said, let me get into it.
And, how do you then get earthworms? I don't even know what an earthworm farm looks like. You could give us some insight into that?
Yeah, sure. Well, what I saw on the internet, they had, they talk about the red wigglers, and they had different types of earthworms, the African night crawler, etc. Well, I didn't think we had that in Trinidad because I never heard about an earthworm farm or know anybody doing earthworm farming in Trinidad. So I did a crazy thing and ordered some earthworms on Amazon. And well, it did come Trinidad, but the ministry, the quarantine unit, they kept it, they died out, and then they brought the dust of the earthworms to be to pay for to clear. Right. Then my wife, she did a degree in natural resource environmental studies, etc. And she said, listen, if they have it there, there would be an equivalent here in Trinidad. So I started to go through the bush and find the necessary composting earthworms, the African night crawlers, and what we call the Indian blues. So we have that in Trinidad here. And I put them in a system. Well, initially I thought I had to put dirt, but these earthworms don't require soil, don't require dirt. When I figured out what they required, man, those things started to multiply, and now I have probably hundreds of thousands of earthworms.
So is it that you were digging in the bush to find these earthworms?
Right in Grand Hoover, and digging through the land, picking up earthworms. But the most that I found was not the composting species.
Right.
But as I did my research, I knew what to look for, and I found the necessary species that does composting.
Wow. Okay, so now you have this, and you are basically self-taught in how to do this farm. How do you now move from the scale of experimentation to having something commercialized? Because I've seen your packaging and I had to double check to make sure if it was local or not.
Yes. Well, yes, I'm self-taught, but I also attended the International Worm Farming Conference in North Carolina a few years ago. And I was amazed to see how many people all over the world are involved in earthworm farming and on a large scale, you see? So you're asking me basically how scalable is this?
No, I wonder how you got into the business side of it. Like, what was that experience like?
Uh-huh, right. Yeah, well, first I started off doing it in a little bucket. Then I went to a little box that I built. But then I realized when I used the cast, the plants responded really well. My worms were multiplying. So I built a bigger box, like a trough. And I kept going. And I introduced it to some people and they purchased it. Well, before they purchased, I gave them some to try and they loved it. And I just kept multiplying the earthworms. I contacted the University of the West Indies, there in St. Augustine. They sent persons by me. They found the material was really good. They tried it on the plants at the university. And they said, look, this is a very good product. And I just scale it up by increasing the earthworms and getting their cast, packaging it. I got traction when the university had the Agri Expo. I went there, it sold out, people loved it, and from there it took off.
Because you told me that you are not going to have stock for the next 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Which means people buy you out.
Yeah, well, what happened? Now, there was a period not too long ago, it really slowed down, and I realized people didn't really understand worm castings and what it can do. And then too, I wasn't doing a very good job at marketing it for a while.
Right.
But now more and more people are appreciating worm castings and what it does. So all of a sudden, people start buying all this thing, boy. And they kind of catch me with my pants down where I don't have enough. So right now we are feeding the worms very heavily. Within the next month and a half or so, we should be ready to put out a lot of worm castings.
I'm curious, when you're packaging this, how do you separate the worms from the castings to get it into the bugs?
Right. So the finished product initially has a lot of the worms in it. So what we do, we bank up the finished product. So it's a picture of a box 4 feet wide by 8 feet long or 40 feet long. And the sides are about 16 inches, sometimes 12 to 16 inches. When the material is finished, we bank it up to one side. Then we put fresh material on the other side, and the earthworms start to migrate from the finished material to the fresh material. Mm. After that is done, well, while that is happening, the finished material is drying out a bit, losing some moisture. After we do a sift of the material, where we get out more of the earthworms, and of course, because it's an ecosystem, you would have other bugs in it, etc. But during this process, those bugs, they are removed, they crawl away, the rest of the earthworms come out, and then we have it ready for packaging.
This is quite interesting, actually. So what types of materials then do you have to use to feed these earthworms?
Nice, good question. So we give them a balanced diet of carbon or carbonaceous materials and nitrogenous materials. Carbon would be, for example, wood shavings, leaves, cardboard, office paper, shredded paper, that would constitute your carbon. Then your nitrogen in balance would be vegetable waste. I remember there's a company in Tortuga where I used to get a lot of vegetable peels from, like sweet potato peels, cassava peels, etc. Right? As well as animal manures would work well. So I have a donkey. I would use the donkey waste, or you could use cow dung, etc., and feed the earthworms.
And from start to finish, how long does the process take?
The earthworms would convert the material within 6 to 8 weeks. And before we package, we would leave it for maybe another 2 to 3 weeks to make sure that the bugs would come out, the baby earthworms would come out. What sometimes happens is some people would get, maybe one or two babies might come into the packaging,
right,
or definitely earthworm eggs sometimes comes into the packaging. So I would say between 8 to 12 weeks, we should be good.
And then how do you apply this top plant? On the top, or you have to mix it into the soil?
Well, you could do both. But we just, like, for example, if you have a seedling and you're going to set your seedling, we just put maybe a tablespoon into the seedling hole and cover it. If the plant is a bit established, a bigger plant, we would take half a handful or a handful and put it around the plant by the roots. You scratch the surface a little bit and leave it. Now, if the plant is in full sun, we would want to more or less put it into the soil because it will dry out to the top too much. So we kind of sometimes incorporate it into the soil.
Mm.
If you're doing a soil mix, of course, well, it will be mixed in with the soil. Yeah.
Now, where do you then distribute these items? How do you get them to consumers? Is it direct from you to people, or do you get it into agro shops?
The bigger packages, like we do sell feed bag size, So those persons who buy by feed bags would come and get it from me personally. But the 2 kg packs, we have them at a few agro shops where persons do purchase.
You think that your limitation always is educating people to increase its use, or your limitation is on the supply side, scaling it up?
Both. So I really need to do a little more work with regards to educating persons. And we're definitely working on that. And right now, we have to work on producing a lot more of this product.
Now, what sort of price point would something like this look like?
It is retailed for between $75 to $100. Some stores sell it for as much as that. I realize persons still purchase it, whether it is the $75 or the $100, because people realize that it's quite valuable, so they buy it.
So you haven't really heard of anybody else doing this. So would you say that you are a pioneer in the field locally when it comes to this?
When it comes to this, yes. I believe I am the person who started it and really pushed it. We have trained a number of persons to do it. And there are persons now locally who have some worm castings to sell. They are not on the level that I am at, but they are coming up, and I think that is really, really good, because we really want to keep the imported worm castings at bay so that the local worm farmers can put it out into the market and get it sold.
So then if that is the case, that people can import it, why didn't you import it to resell?
Well, I wouldn't say people can import it, but people do import it. I thought of importing it initially, and I was told flatly by the Ministry of Agriculture, you cannot import this, we are not going to allow it, don't even think about it. So I said, okay. But then within the last 2 years or so, I have been seeing foreign brands on the shelves. I contacted the ministry and they told me, listen, that shouldn't be. And I know that they went and dealt with the situation. But you know how it goes in Trinidad here. People still import it. I look at it on the positive side in that it is just causing more people to become aware of earthworm castings and its benefits. What has happened, though, is that after some persons have tried the foreign brand, they have reverted to using what we are producing here locally, because they realize the foreign brand would be very old stuff, you see? And then it has to sit in a container and then come down here, etc. Whereas what we are producing, it is fresh. The microbes are very much alive and active in the product. So persons are reverting back to using our product.
Dexter, I have a message coming in here. So somebody wants to know that if they have like a lot of land, I guess that's 5,000 square feet. And they want to apply something like this to help the soil. Is it that they're going to sprinkle this on the top?
Oh, well, not really, no. I would suggest to them a different method where they use the worm castings and produce a worm tea, convert it to a liquid, and then spray that all over their lot. That's the system I would use.
Oh, so you mix it into water.
Yes.
And you create a soluble fertilizer with it.
Correct.
So this dissolves in water that easily. Then are there any like particles or anything on it, or is it kind of smooth?
No. Well, you're not dissolving it. But when it is in the water, the nutrients can be extracted.
Right.
And yeah, and now you could use a water application onto your soil, onto the leaves of the plants, etc. The the cast remains there, then you can use that into your soil, etc.
Do you think then that as we are looking for more natural alternatives to boosting agriculture, that this can play an increasing role in how food production is thought of?
Definitely. And the thing is, we have enough raw materials here that we can compost and return it to the soil rather than importing this stuff and different types of compost. It is certainly healthier for the plants, therefore it will be healthier for us. Many persons who have used earthworm castings to grow their tomatoes, peppers, etc., have reported to us, and we have experienced it firsthand, how much more shelf life the produce has as opposed to those that are grown using synthetic fertilizers. So I would say definitely yes.
You know, I've kind of found that as well. Depending on how I grow something, the final product lasts shorter or longer. And when I do grow something with a more natural method, I find it stays firmer for very long. I have some tomatoes that were in the fridge for the last 4 months, and they have not yet spoiled.
Wow, great.
So I fully agree with you there. And I mean, I like what you're hearing. I like the entrepreneurial spirit that you have. I like that you're being able to use waste to create something that is very, very valuable. I love to hear this. Now, what is next for your business, and how can people then, hearing this in a couple months' time, go out and either get in contact with you to purchase or go to places to find it?
Well, what is next is scaling up. And certainly, let me just mention, you see the sarcasm problem that we have, like all Matura and these different beaches? Let me tell you, when we feed the earthworm sargassum, the seaweed, man, they devour that, and it makes an excellent fertilizer, excellent compost. So we would like to scale up to the point where we could have the facility so that things like sarcasm can come to us. We can bring it to our facility. We would like, instead of organic waste going to the different dumps, that they could come to us. We could pre-compost it and then feed it to the earthworms and have a rich product that can be returned to the soil. We would like for persons to use less synthetic fertilizer, or none at all, but certainly less, and go more natural ways in growing our food. In addition, as I said earlier, we really want to do more educating of persons, as well as providing them with earthworms, because persons always call us and ask us for earthworms. So we want to increase our stock so that we'll be able to supply earthworms and the housing for them.
You know, I actually went to an agro shop recently and asked for earthworms, and they didn't even know where to find it.
Correct, correct. So you see, we really need to do a lot more work using social media, etc., radio, TV, to get the word out.
Okay, so the packaging is yellow, and the brand, want to tell the listeners the brand one more time for those who tuned in a little bit later?
Yeah, it's a yellow-green packaging, and the brand is Bossier Greens Earthworm Farm.
And of course, the discussion today is on the use of earthworms to create a healthy, natural fertilizer for plants, a natural alternative. And I know I'll call it alternative, but that's natural. This is what it used to be first before synthetic fertilizers, eh? So, and how can people get in contact with you and maybe a couple of the stores that they could look at in a few months that you may be able to stock if you're able to tell us? If not, I understand.
Sure. They can call me at 479-1454. 479-1454. It's always better to WhatsApp me.
Wonderful. And I think that this discussion was actually quite enlightening, because people are always looking for options to grow plants better in a more natural way. And you coming on the market now and being able to do the research and bring a product to us, it gives us options to really grow food in a better way. Dexter, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. And I do wish you all the best. I can tell you that personally, I will be reaching out to you because I want to continue to learn more about this. And I do hope that in the future, I'd be able to bring you back onto the program to you know, share your expertise with the listeners again.
Sure. Thank you very much. And let's not be strangers.
Once again, listeners, thank you so much. This has been Agri Business Innovation on Freedom 106.5 FM.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.